Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia, Hazrat Maulana Abu Hasan Nadwi rahimahullah wrote the sentence, and all of you must remember this. He said, "Jo Hindustan, the Indian Muslim went to various parts of the world. Three things they did. One, when they went, they put up a masjid. You start from Port Shepstone and come down to Newcastle, and our forefathers came here, right in the heart of town, here in Marisburg, your Church Street and all that. So you must remember that they put up masjid. Next to the masjid, they put up madrasa. And then they put up maqbara, they put up a graveyard. So we must remember this, they preserve the identity of the Muslim. But our Arab brothers, halahadahumullah, that when they went at that time, they assimilated totally with the locals. So much so, I saw this myself in these countries, that proper Arabs, they don't even know Alif Ba Ta Sa. They forgot their language, they lost their deen, they forgot everything. You find some couples, it happened to me also, that the brother will come, "I'm Muslim. But you know, my wife is not Muslim. But Sunday I go church." I say, "Why you go church?" He said, "No, I have to take my wife a little bit. But I'm Muslim." Now I ask him, "Now what about your children?" He said, "No, my children, I want proper Muslim, no go church and all this kind of thing." So slowly now the third, fourth generation, or third or second generation, are realizing that they made a big mess by assimilating with the locals, and the whole deen left them. But Allah's system, Allah's mercy, Allah is using South African ulama, South African huffaz, so many of them, and few brothers are arranging this whole journey for them. Wherever you go, wherever I went, you just find the South African ulama and huffaz. Someone is performing tarawih, someone made hijrat, someone is crying there, "I want to go home." One father, when I came back, I phoned 90% of the parents. "I met your son, my wife met your daughter, your grandchildren." Whatever it is, one father told me, "My son, the way he cried each day." I say, "Why he was crying?" He said, "Missing the family too much." So I said, "Don't worry, we went through all that in our life. 40 years ago, 1974, when we were in Karachi, there were no phone and fax and email and all these things there. So each day come, I still remember very well, we just go in the corner there and then you cry. Not one Pakistani also give you dawat also. You understand? So this type of thing. You say, "Ye kyu aaya ye yahan?" They'll tell you, "Upside down, for what you had to come here?" And this type of thing. It was like that in those days, you see. So I asked him, "What you do? What you did when he said oh?" He said, "No, I asked him, you want to come home?" He said, "No, Abba, I can't come home. What will happen to the ummah here?" You see. So they got that fikr, they went to that fikr, subhanallah. Anyway, this Mother Plata was very, very exciting because they have a markaz, proper masjid and people. Now the non-Muslims, they can see a structure coming up and outside the beautiful mosaic tiles. So they stop there to see what's going on. Now I can't speak to them, I don't know Spanish, we learn one, two words and all that. So then we call somebody because I have to walk from the hotel every day. Then you see them stopping the car, looking in. Each day they had over 100 people performing Eid Salat there. It's like telling you, yeah, in Eidgah you had 30, 40,000 people. That is the equivalent like. Because there was no Islam at all there. So you must remember. Anyway, so that was Mother Plata. Then we had to come back to Buenos Aires and so forth. Then we went to Uruguay, second country. Now listen, for us, yeah, in Marisburg, our brothers, you got so much uplang, what your uplang you can do this and this type of thing. Not for me, you do for yourself, for your family. The whole country got 3 million people, 3.5 million people. There's not one single masjid there. There's not one madrasa there. Your Maulana, I'll take his name, Abdul Ghani. I believe his father is sick. Allah Ta'ala give him Shifa Kamil. And he traveled 3-4 hours just to come meet me there. And he said that, "No, he's taking me to one brother." I said, "Very good, I want to meet somebody." So he came to meet me and we went to this Indian brother. So I asked him, "Aap yaha kya kar rahe ho?" So he said, "No, he's doing IT work and they send 140 or so Hindus and 10-12 Muslims." I said, "No, very good, you must stay here." So we went to his house all that late at night because my flight was late also. Nevertheless, to cut the long story short, so I asked him, "How many Muslims you know here?" He said, 85. I say, "Masjid?" He says, 0. Madrasa zero. I say, aapka parte taraweeh ona Jumma. He said, next to the Egyptian embassy, they have a musalla and it is open once a week and in Ramadan for Jumma. And during the other time, 11 months, in Ramadan rather, it is open Maghrib and Isha as well. So imagine you have a situation, one musalla in the whole country, whole week is closed and only Jumma it opens. So what that tells you? Can't we take, when we had our meetings all that, I said, brothers, you're going now. You can't forget Uruguay, you're doing, we say Uruguay, they all say Uruguay, so we say Uruguay also now. So anyway, this Uruguay is right in the middle. What a beautiful country. When you go, your people, Joburg, Durban, you pass your Midlands, you know, all the farms and all that, same, just like that it is. The amount of animals they export to all the Arab countries, excellent ties they got, but no one thought of a masjid or anything. Imagine. How many thousand people, Muslims, there must be there who just became murtad out of the fall of Islam. Now see, brothers, when we don't have ulama, then what happens? So from there, I go to Brazil. I come into a place called Santana. There also our Maulana, mashallah, they are there. South African ulama were there for Tarawih. So that Imam, all Palestinians, full Palestinians. So that Imam there, he says, the Sheikh, he says, today one big Sheikh came, maybe he saw my size and all that, you know. So he's going to deliver the talk and everything. So every night they read 8 rakats Tarawih. So he says, tonight we're reading 4 rakat Tarawih, and the Sheikh will then give a lecture. From 8 he made it even 50% discount, 4 rakat. He reads Tarawih like this. Let's see Qibla, this is an example just to explain. Waladdallin Tarawih, right? Then he's got his Quran Sharif open there, then he moves like this. He turns the page, he reads the page like this, Allahu Akbar. He's looking in a big Quran, and then when he comes back, again he moves here. Then again he'll move there. And we're standing at the back, you understood? So the ulama who were there, they're telling me, what you saw is nothing. I say, what you mean? You see, when we read 8 rakats Tarawih, after 4 rakats, then we have 10-15 minute break. Because we read 4 pages, we got very tired, you know. You understand? So then the kahwa comes, the coffee comes. Then you must remember the dates come, tamar, you know. And then the hookah also comes. Imagine. So at least one brother had some, you know, common sense is no more common also. So he told him, bhai, you want hookah, at least put outside the masjid. So when we went, it was outside the masjid. See, when we don't have ulama. I went to the madrasa next day. I said, let me go see. Arab children. Their ustad is teaching them part one and all that. Nurani Kaida and all that. Alif, Ba, Arab children. The father realized that he lost everything. I don't want my children to lose everything. So our ulama are now teaching them. Amen. The alphabets, Arabic alphabet. So brothers, if you look at South America, one side is joy that our ulama are doing. Other side, so much sadness that our Arab brothers, that one brother, I remember he stood up while I was speaking. He said, Sheikh, you know the Arabs when you speak, they just stand up also. So I tell you what, you see, you don't know. In Palestine, we got too many spies. And even in this masjid, we got spies. So I told him, Sheikh, don't worry, in Junubi Africa also we got a lot of spies. Understood? So this type of things. I say, I speak on the media, I tell my wife, even our phones are tapped and all these type of things. Because we live in a world like this, you don't know who's who, you know. So you must remember this stuff. So anyway, that was one of the lighter moments. Then from there, we went to Panama. Panama was very good. See one alim. The past 6 years or so, he leaves India. Hazrat Mufti Ismail Kacholvi, maybe some of you know him. He is there in Randair, he's the Sheikhul Hadith. First time I met him. And subhanallah, when I just entered the masjid, I was staying by the Kacholias. Haji Nazir Kacholia, one of our brothers here, Dr. Mohsin Kacholia, arranged it. So mashallah, his house just near Medina Masjid, just 2-3 miles. When I entered there, I see so much activity, brothers reading Quran, somebody in Etikaf. I said, Alhamdulillah. Then we sit there, Hazrat giving some nasihat and all these things. Then we came to know, first time I met Hazrat. He said he came to South Africa, but anyway. Nevertheless, so he was giving his lectures. Sometimes they would call me, give lecture, Jumma and all. anyway, when you have an alim and he spent the whole month in itikaf, see three things that happened there. He said, Hazrat Shaykh Nawarullah Marqada was habit for years. As soon as he puts his foot in the masjid, he makes intention for nafil itikaf. So he, Mufti Ismail Sahib, said, one day he asked Hazrat Shaykh Nawarullah Marqada, Hazrat, aapke to itikaf bahut ho chuke hai. So many years you're making. He said, Hazrat looked at him and smiled and said, agar Allah ke yaha ek bhi kabool hai, to wo bhi kafi hai. You see, brothers, that is the big lesson we must learn. We do this, but we must ask for kabooliyat by all men. Mufti Ismail Sahib, in the last 10 days, I was there the 21st, 22nd night or whatever. He said, Bayo, I want to tell you, each majma mein 27 brothers sitting for etikaf in the heart of America. If you look at Panama, it is Central America. So he said ke jo fitna ka markaz hai, 27 people sitting for itikaf. And baz hazrat aise hai, in his lecture he's saying, he said, I don't want to take their names. Every day they read the entire Quran Sharif. Daily completing Quran. What a great thing it is, brothers. So we must remember, we became very close also, mashallah. That Hazrat used to call me and said then everything. So many things we learned from him also. So I asked him, Hazrat, kitne saal? So he said, 6-7 saal. So anyway, about 6 years, I think now, every year he goes there, he built up a whole, you know, such an environment there. There's another masjid there, listen to this, brothers. Another masjid there, this is Medina Masjid. In town, there's a masjid there, Panama City, it's called Jumma Masjid. And there the imam is Mufti Abdul Qadir. He's from India, and he's serving the community. I don't know if there's any bhikkhu brothers here. You will know your history. See, when Allah wants to use somebody, this Baji, he left the West Indies, he left India and all that. The ship went to Barbados, this, that. I don't know, he was sleeping or what, and what. They left him in the ship. You see? The next time Baji opened his eyes, he landed up in Panama. See, now where am I? Subhanallah, you know, Indian, wherever we are, we can do something, you know. So, whether it's right way or gold mall, but you'll do something, understand? So, Baji, he did right thing. So, right in the heart, he managed to obtain some land and all that. Now, I told you just now, Hazrat Mawal Sanadwi, his brain, must I build my shop, must I build masjid? That's a prime property, right in the heart. Allah give tawfiq, say, put masjid. Subhanallah, right in the heart of the city. And that became his sadaqah jariyah. Till today you ask anyone who's old, he'll tell you, Baji Bhikkhu, the top man here, he brought Islam alive. That is a challenge for you, my brothers. Etro uplang ai pango, kolo karna si. I just spoke some heaven there for my brothers. So this type of thing. Huh? Go to Uruguay and put up your sadaqah jariyah there. So you must remember the thing. So anyway, my brothers, so that is the challenge there. Now see, we must give credit where credit is due. Very few of ulama go Panama. I told him, no, I must go. So this, I want to see one thing. I love to see all these new things, you know. So I told Baji, Haji Sahab, me, I want to go to Darulum and Kabristan and all that. He said, at Itwarna, you speak Gujarati and all that. So my Gujarati is all right, if possible, you know. I say, Baji, all right, we go at Itwarna. I say, no, Saturday, what are we going to do? So he say, all right, what you want? I say, no, I want to go to Panama Canal. He say, all right. So he drops me and Fatima there, so we go to Panama Canal. Man-made, brothers. What we got in Cape Town is natural, Baraj al-Bahrain. There is man-made. This side here is Pacific Ocean, that side is Atlantic Ocean. They made a canal. Subhanallah, they joined the two seas. 40 ships go this way and this way. 20 this way, 20 there, to and fro. It takes them 8 to 10 hours to cross the canal, and depending on the cargo and the size and everything. You look at it from on top, because when we reached there, the lady told me, go quick, the last ship is going now. And then you won't see it, you'll have to wait till the afternoon. When we went there, subhanallah, engineering genius. You know, they make the water rise so it can be level with the sea. And then they drop the water, and what things they did. So I got a pamphlet, I started reading the history. August 1914, they built this canal. Over a million ships went to and fro. Now it's 2014 August. I went to visit it after 100 years existence. While I'm there, I asked them a question. I say, 100 years, how many times it was closed? They said, one day. I said, one day in 100 years? I said, yes. I said, why? He said, no, that time that army and all that, there was attack and war. So that one day, that was a few hours, but they closed it for the day. I say, right through. I said, open. We got it all record document in our archives. I told Fatima, if there was Muslims, never mind somebody else, the Muslim, one will stand there, one will stand there, we'll blow it up ourselves. Ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiraag se. That is what we do. 100 years. And now while I was there, they were giving out pamphlets. They said now they're starting a later, bigger expansion because some ships are so big now, they can't even go through there. You know, the jumbo ships, whatever you call them, like planes and whatever. So anyway, it was something worth seeing. We went to the Darul Uloom, no students there, it's holiday. See South Africa. How fortunate we are. You just go here, Darul Uloom, you go here, Masjid, you go here. Kabristan, 40 kilometers away. I say, aapko itne wo aadmi wahan pahunchte pahunche wo bhi mar jayega. And this type of things. So far it is in this type of things. But they say, no, this is not. I say, anyway. From there, you must listen to this here. This is the main part. We came to Venezuela. Subhanallah, when we come to Venezuela, then our ulama, there's a place called St. Felix. So there they have three centers. The brother, we had supper together last week Sunday. Today is Thursday, he came now. Palestinian brother, far from deen, everything. He meets a Pakistani Jamaat. And his whole life turned. Proper Palestinian brother. Now he wears short kurta, like Pakistani, and the shilwar like. So they ask him, why you wear like this, you Arab? They say, the Pakistanis brought me into Islam. So I'm indebted to them, so therefore I wear these clothes. One. He put up a masjid, I had to perform Eid Salat there. Masjid Khulafai Rashidin. I asked him now, because there Ramadan time and all a lot of people. The Shias, because he put up a masjid, they came to him with a check. $500,000. Take this and give us the masjid. He said, no. $800,000. Yes, they said, okay. Take a blank check, you put the amount, and we'll give it to you. See what test Allah Ta'ala gave. He said, I told them, I'm Muslim, I belong to Ahlul Sunnah, and I got nothing to do with you Shias. They got the Shia center, I went there. We hooted twice, two different days I went. Nothing happened, so I told them, Maulana, this place you must only come first, Muharram, first 10 days, then something happens here. Otherwise, they all join the jinnats, you know, in this thing. So anyway, so that is an important place. Our South African ulama are there. He went to court, the Sheikh Amir, the same brother. He said, I'm telling you, we're going to give adhan in a mic. This way, that way, they went to court, he won the case. Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, now they allow them to give adhan in a mic. Fajr, that was the first place I could hear adhan, subhanallah. Nowhere else you hear adhan, nothing, just inside a masjid, outside you can't hear. See, brothers, when Allah gives hidayah. Then we went to another place there, San Jose. There, all these brothers from Guyana, West Indies, they're all English. So there was no problem, you just speak how long you want to and all that. And they also excited and everything, because now there's not many ulama there. So mashallah, we went to Tarawih there also, and at the Jummah there also. Then another place, brothers, we went is Unari, Shia person. He's Shia, I don't know, coming, going. Jamaat met him, everything. Subhanallah, he said, no, this I have to do. He joins the Tabligh Jamaat, he changes his life around, he built a whole masjid also. See how. Then we had Eid. By the time you all announced here and all that, after about 6 hours, there was sunset still. You know how many hours they be? I did program for New Zealand radio from there. Because last year I went to New Zealand. So they get my numbers and everything. Subhanallah, I told them, how do you do program for you? That
I'm calculating, you're 17 hours ahead of us. 17 hours, almost a whole day. They said, no, we do like this. You give us time, we'll record it, and then we'll play it out. I said, yeah, let's do like that. So from there, I used to do for the program. Like, it was like, it was something strange. Brothers, I want all of you to pay attention to this incident. Eat everything, mashallah. When I'm in Brazil, when I'm in Argentina, I see board everywhere. Madrasatu Hazim. Madrasatu Hazim. So I asked, what's this? No. I found out, they say this family is in Valencia. But you can't go there, you must go by plane. I said, no, I got time, I can go. So okay. They phoned this way, that way, and we got booking. They had to get... Venezuela is a crazy country. Let's speak about Venezuela a little bit. Petrol, brothers, 1 cent a liter, 1.5 cent a liter. One rain, you can fill up your whole tank. But it's good that, isn't it? What you say? So I must remember. They say $1 for the whole month. The Maulana said it happened already twice or thrice. There the money, I still got the money. Bolivia, they call it. Bolivia or something. I wanted to change it. They never want to change it here in Dubai and everywhere also. Anyway, they say mafia, you know. Okay, anyway. So, they said if you go with 100 note and they give the, you know, that Bowser brother there, you have got change, he fill your whole tank up, he said, just go, man, don't worry. Because how much you have to pay him, 3 or 4? You see? So you don't have change, you see, just fill up, it's all right. From my side, I give you ED. You understand? You made a whole tank in this time of time. But we went shopping a little bit there. I see everybody buying toilet rolls. Everyone there. I said, what's going on? So he also looked down, you see, for the past 3 months, there's no toilet rolls available here. Today, yesterday the Maulana must have sent it. I received it today because I said after Fajr. So I see the Maulana sent the email. He said, Maaf, I didn't reply you. 1 week there was no internet in Venezuela. So things just collapsed there as it is. One day we came for Tarawih, the whole road collapsed. You know? So the infrastructure, you know, we're going to potholes and boreholes. There's even worse than that. You know? The taxis are all Impalas. You know Impala, the big ones. But not new models, all old models in this town. So it's a very funny country. Some things are so cheap and some things are unavailable. Not exist. Now, brothers, after Eid, I take a flight to Valencia. You get Valencia in Spain also, this is now this idea. You get Barcelona there, you get Barcelona. We went to all this. Anyway, we went to Valencia. Subhanallah, what is the story? You youngsters, you Salman and Ridwan and all you youngsters, listen to the story. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَنْ حَازِمْ. Who is Hazim? Let's tell you the story of Hazim. Hazim grows up, Palestinian family. They left in the 50s, the apartheid regime of Israel came into existence in May 1948. So they couldn't take it, their father, grandfather, they left. Intention dunya. Allah gave them so much, Palestinians. What cars and houses? They got planes and jets. They got planes and jets. Personal, they own it. Understand? So we go. The one brother, no, the Maulana came to pick me up. So I asked him, Abkon? He said, no, I'm West Indies. I said, oh, you're working for them? He said, yeah. I said, let's go. So we go to the one brother there, his name Bashar. So Bashar is Hazim's cousin. Their fathers are brothers. So he tells me about Hazim. Bashar, you look at him, big beard, turban, he looked like a big sheikh and alim, but not in Jamaat. You see, Hazim's story is this, 13 years old, Jamaat started coming. Allah put such love in his heart, he just started making khidmat and das, and they're not even baligh, 13 years old. So anyway, now he becomes baligh, 17, 18, he's going for gersh, he's doing this, everything. Now he gets married also, now he wants to do more and more. His parents, his brothers, all of them so upset with him, they disowned him. You Hazim, you get out from here. We're not speaking of now 1-2 rain and 1 million rain, and we're speaking of billions now. And you disowned. But subhanallah, Allah make means. When you make for Allah's sake, people can do what they want to. Hazim, don't worry.
1993, Jamaat went from South Africa. Hazim is busy with them. He came to South Africa also, 40 days here. 4 months he went there. They asked him, what you got? He said, I got a car on my name. He sold his car and he went. Subhanallah. When they said, you know, Saudi, they send that invitation to countries. Hafiz. So Hazim, not Hafiz, but he knew a lot from Quran. So they called him there for Qiraat competition. When they go for Qiraat competition, not always, sometimes they open the Kaaba, the Baytullah. They open the Kaaba, Musharrafah, Hazim went inside the Baytullah also. Young boy. Now his wife also a little bit this way and that. Allah Ta'ala bless them with the baby daughter, Maryam. Subhanallah, it's going on like this. Now, Hazim and his parents. Hazim, now he and his wife, little bit argument. His wife says, we want to go there, there's a nikah. He tells, he's 26 years old now, 1997. His wife, he tells his wife, no. I'll take you there after Isha. See, Allah's system. In that, he prepared his last will and he left it there. The wife didn't open it. The wife realized she's pregnant, she just conceived now. And she doesn't tell the husband. Because little bit, you know. He goes for Isha to the masjid where I had program. Subhanallah, 26 years old, 1997, he meets up with an accident, Hazim passes away, shaheed. From 13 years old to 26 years old, whole life in Jamaat basically. Making khidmat, all this thing. Now janaza. One brother is sitting in Germany, one is here, one is there. They come with their jets and what have you. They can't believe what they see. Hundreds of people. They you don't get, you get 5-10 people for janaza. And the people are crying. The father, Abdul Hamid, I met him, 85 years old. So, they crying. Say, Hazim taught us this, Hazim taught us this, Hazim taught us. Because of Hazim, I changed my life. Now the father and the sons are looking. We disowned him, but today he's bringing so much honor to our family. Say, no, now we change our life. Is it? Subhanallah, everyone changed. They all went 4 months. This, everything, Bashar, Bassam, Basi, Hasim, all of them, the whole lot they went. You look at them today, they're flying their jets for Tabliq Istimaz here and there and all this. Allah's sister. Took them out from Palestine, intention wrong, but goodness in one son. Father must have done something good to somebody's duas. Now when I met the father, Abdul Hamid, they knew I'm coming. And I looked him in the eye. So I could see the sadness. So when we met, even he teared and I teared. Then I told them, I want to go to Hazim's grave. So the brother said, fine. I was staying in the brother's house. If I take Mountain Rise, Molana is the most posh area here, Marisburg. Okay, you take, what is the most expensive house? 10 million rand, 20 million rand. Maybe. Right. So Hazim's brother. So he tells me, you stay by me. Let me stay by you. What you got no problem. We go there. I look at his house. So we became friends also. And he can't speak Arabic properly also. He, you know, a little bit kachu. If you speak that word, I see what did word mean like that? English and already fluent. But Arabic. So anyway, so I speak to him. I say, what's this house? Yeah, about $4 million. $4 million is how much? 45 million, 50 million rand. But Allah changed the whole life for the sake of deen. When I met the father, he took out his phone and he said, this is my Hazim. Now, can you tell the father, but you disowned him? Can you tell him? No. Allah gives everyone a second chance. See how Allah used Hazim. Subhanallah. Now I had to deliver a talk there for the ladies in Hazim's house. Hazim's wife comes. She meets Fatima. She can't meet me, obviously. She meets. So now when she's pregnant, whole iddat 9 months she had to pull through. And Maryam was born already. Now Muhammad is born. But he never met his father, obviously. So you see, now he's becoming a Hafiz and all these things here. So when you listen to all these kind of things, then you see Allah's deen, Allah uses whoever he wants. There's no such thing that we Indians and we Apra and we Mehman and Gujarati and Urdu. Allah's deen don't work like that. Allah will choose whoever he wants for his deen. Remember that. So therefore what we have to do, make that dua. Ya Allah, make me the khadim of your deen. I never even dreamt in my wildest dreams one day I'll be lecturing here and there in South America and all these things here. And now the emails come, you must come again and this. End of the day, my brothers, I want to speak to just for 1 hour. I looked at the watch, I'm coming to the ending of the first part. What is needed is for many, many ulama to go. Allah give them jazai khair. I saw them crying, I saw their sacrifices. So you, my young ulama, make up your mind, make mashura, everything. But one way, you go like Tariq bin Ziyad. When he left North Africa, they crossed the ocean, they went into Iberia, what is called Portugal in Spain. He took his 7 ships, he burnt it. He said, Allah, we will establish the deen here or we give our life. 785 years, Islam stayed in Andalus. About 5 years ago I was there. So you must remember Muslim Spain. Subhanallah. That is the spirit we need. We can't become like them, but at least we can imitate a little bit. So remember ulama, jamaats. We don't need visa, nothing. South America is very good. You just go, mashallah. So, and they're very, very courteous, very, very friendly. I told you, over-friendly also. So this type of thing. But one advice, don't go alone. You understand? Unless now it's 5, 6 brothers, jamaat is different. But you go alone, it's more dangerous and all this thing. Okay, brothers, the part one we finish. Quickly, 5 minutes, let me tell you about part two. What is happening in Gaza? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا غَزَّةَ. We told you about Hazim Rahimahullah. When I went to the grave with Hazim, I really cried. Because he himself was crying so much. So we both made a lot of dua there. And his grave is very ajeeb in this sense. When you see a Hazim's grave, all the graves around there, big, big tombstones, and you know, they got that non-Muslim culture. So, and you look at Hazim's grave, plain, nothing, not even his name is written there in this type of thing. But see the izzat Allah is giving. From where and where people, the elders all went there also, to meet them, and they also went. So anyway, brothers, so what is Gaza? Today, every day on your TV, radio, newspaper, see today, what happened? I parked my car, there, you know, long-term parking at Owa Tambo. So I'm in the shuttle. I'm like this. So the security guy comes with a big gun like this. So he look at me. He say, Hare Krishna. Hey, no, Hare Krishna. AK-47. He look at me. Say, all right. He make like this and they go away. So now, you sit in the plane. Now they give you, you know, this newspaper. First page, they got that Muslim, if it's Muslim, Allah knows. And now he's going to chop that guy's head off, behead him, that folly or whatever, that journalist. So this guy, a white guy, I offered him some food. So he started, I'm reading. So you see, what you say about this? I say, very good question. You see, when these people ask, you must. I say, you see here in this plane, I'm a Muslim, these other Muslims, you can see them there. Leave. You go to any one of them and ask them. Even if they don't know much about Islam. These actions got nothing to do with Islam. So he's very surprised. He said, got nothing. I said, no. He said, then why? I said, it's you, your governments, your British government, American government, they pay the agents and they do all these things and the agenda and the ulterior motive is to present such an image of Islam to distort the entire message. Now he looks at me, is that so? I say, I don't know you, what's your name, anything. I'll ask you a question. All this going on in Gaza and all, for them we say Gaza, the proper term is Gaza. I say, what you think is going on in Palestine and Israel? You think all this is going on for human rights and democracy or is going on for oil? So he looks at me and smiles. He says, of course it's for oil. So I said, in Africa there's so many genocides, so many problems, nobody comes. Because the truth of the matter, sir, is you kicked me out from my house.
You kicked me out from our shop. When I was a little boy, you came and you said, please get out from here. And I told him, you did that to us. And today you are doing the same thing to our Palestinians. So tomorrow when that young boy grows up, what you expect him to do? If I was there, I told him, I also will shoot and kill. What you expect to do? You steal our land, you steal our masajid, you destroy our children. Look at your statistics. Your statistics is showing more than 2,000 people killed, more than 500 of them are children, and majority of them are innocent people. Our figures are, we dispatched 300 soldiers of you straight to hell. People in uniform, they are legitimate targets. Your figure is 70 and 80, but we know it's 300 and more.